Today we continue following in the feet of Jesus. Following in the feet of Jesus. And so far we have talked about how in the first week about the disciples that we learned that following him, that there's no prerequisite other than our availability. And that those who follow him don't have to be perfect, which gives us encouragement. At least it does to me. And then we talk about how that Christ sometimes leads us and we have to walk through temptation. And there are going to be things that come up in our lives that will try to divert us from the path that he has for us. And last week we talked about walking on water. Sometimes Christ calls us to, even in our loss and our grief and our confusion, to still stay faithful and stay on track. Today, I want us to look at Christ and his instructions for walking through persecution. Today, more than ever, we see in the news the actual physical attack on the church. And we are here in this country that we are blessed that we do not face this on a daily basis. But our brothers and sisters around the world does. And if I am to believe the book that we study, the Bible, there will be a day when we too will face that persecution. As though it's hard to believe now, it may not be this generation and maybe the next, but there will be those who have to follow the way of the disciples and walk through persecution. So let us study this. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 16. Now Jesus is walking with the disciples, he's teaching them, he's got them right there beside him, kind of like a mother hen, herding them along. And then one day he finally says to them, all right, it's your turn to go out on your own. And he sends them out. Now, I remember as a young teenager, the first time or two that I got to go away from home without my parents. And I looked forward to that. I was excited. I got to go to camp in South Carolina. It was a Christian camp, and we had a lot of fun, and I was really looking forward to it. No mom, no dad for a week. About 2 days into it, I got really, really sick. So sick that they had to take me to the emergency room. I was running a high temperature. Being asthmatic, I was having difficulty breathing. At that moment, I wanted nothing more than for my mom and dad to be there. All this excitement, all this desire to be away was erased in that moment of crisis. And I was so happy when they pulled up and they came into the dorm room where I was staying, and very sleepily, I opened my eyes and they walked in and was like, Jason, I'm here to take you home. And it was the strangest thing. Immediately, I started feeling better. And on the drive home, by the time I got home, it's only like a 10-hour drive, I was completely healed. Well, Jesus is telling his disciples, it's about time for you guys to go off to camp. Get your feet wet, because there's going to be a day where I'm not going to be here, and you need to learn how to handle yourselves. And so he gives them some instructions, and part of his instructions are these words which we are going to read now, beginning in verse 16. Jesus says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. It's a great way to start, right? Pump them up. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. This is really good stuff. Jesus is pumping them up. He's getting them excited to go out. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you say or how to say it. At all times, you will be given what to say, for it will be not you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents, and they will have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is not enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of the household? Now, I have been in a lot of sports situations. Baseball playing when I was a kid, football. We've all seen those movies, Facing the Giants, Hoosiers, where the coach comes in, the team is down, or it's right before the big game, and they give this really great speech. And it usually pumps them up. And if you watch football, I always love when the guys get together before the game. They could be 0-15. But in that moment, they believe today could be the day we win. And they huddle around, and there's this camaraderie. They put their arms around each other, and they start bouncing. Have you ever seen them doing it on the sidelines? And they start chanting something. Like, we're not going to lose. We're going to score a point. And the coach is right there. And they do this thing, and you put your hands in this huddle, and on count of three, it's like, go team. Jesus gets his team together, and they got their arms around each other. Yeah, we're going to go out. And this is what he shares. People are going to hate you. They're going to flog you. Your kids will betray you. All men will seek to kill you. And I can see maybe this moment of this huddle, it's like dissipating, and like they're looking at each other like, what did we sign up for? And then Jesus is like, all right, go. It's our hands in 1, 2, 3. Yay. But I think that he was being honest with them. He was telling them the truth, which is sometimes the hardest thing to do, but it's the thing that conveys the most love. He was preparing them. I believe that there's a couple of things that we can follow and learn from Jesus in this. Three things that will happen if we follow Jesus. Verse 16, the first thing, there will be wolves. There will be wolves. When I looked at this verse and I think about that, Jesus is telling us, I'm going to send you someplace that might be dangerous. Now, I had a friend of mine who was a missionary to Siberia, to the native tribes. They have their Native Americans. It's the Native Russian tribes of people who are animalistic in their beliefs, and they still practice voodoo, and they curse other people, and they do these spiritual acts of supernatural intervention of through demons. And he says it was not uncommon for him to wake up, and on his house there would be a goat that had been slaughtered and it was hanging from his front porch. And it was with other paraphernalia, very symbolic of, you have been cursed. He said, I would take it down, wash it off. Then I put a cross out in its place, and I just went on. And I said, how did you handle that? When people would come up to him and say, we hate you. Go home or die. And I never forget these words. He said, I knew I was right where God wanted me. And if I was there, I was in no safer place. In our own lives, there are going to be wolves. I think Jesus is telling us that because he doesn't want us to be surprised. Because sometimes if you weren't expecting something scary and it happens, it's more scary. My son is preoccupied with a game right now called Five Nights at Freddy. If you don't know this game, it's a video game where you stare at the screen and you're supposed to do something. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then Freddy, which is an animatronic kind of like at Chuck E. Cheese, jumps up on the screen. And then I'll hear him occasionally, randomly, he's quiet. And then there's a loud scream from his room. And I know Freddy got him. And he just plays it again. And it's like almost this anticipation of we want to see Freddy. We want to be scared. It's called a jump scare. Many of you probably experienced it back in the 90s. There was this viral thing where people would send you an email and it would say, look at this car commercial and then tell me what kind of car it was. And you'd be watching intently and it says, turn up the volume. Do you remember those? And then about 30 seconds into it, like this ugly face would jump out and scream. And then everybody would like punch their screen and do crazy stuff. Jesus is saying, I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want you to be walking along, the disciples, all pumped up, and then all of a sudden somebody's going to come up and not, you know, like them. And they're going to be like, I've never experienced this. I wasn't anticipating that. Jesus is telling them, there's going to be wolves. So don't be surprised. The second thing is, we will be betrayed. We will be betrayed. Jesus says, it's the closest people. It's your own family. Fathers to their children, children to their fathers, brother to brother. And we have seen this throughout history. We see it even now in countries around the world where believers of other faith convert to Christianity and they are persecuted and they are punished, ostracized by their family. Third, we will be hated. We don't like that, do we? Nobody does. We are the generation, we want to put our 3,267th selfie out on Facebook, and we want hundreds of people to like. And we're all guilty of this. I've done these. You put a post out or a picture, you're like, that's awesome. People are going to love this. People so want to know what I had for dinner tonight. And you keep going back to your Facebook, and you go, oh, I got 2 likes. I got 3 likes. Or sometimes you put it out there, and you get no likes, and you're like, how come people are not liking it? I'll repost it. I'll change my catchphrase. Maybe they just didn't realize how yummy this dinner was. So they can like it as much as I did. We are a generation who love to be liked. Jesus says you will be hated. Now Facebook, and this has come up a lot of times, why do they not have an unlike button? Because there's been people who have posted things that I'm like, I so don't like that. I want to not like. But they don't have, that'd be negative. And we don't like negative. Jesus is telling us, verse 22, we will be hated because of him. It was amazing this week. We were talking, Jalen and was asking questions. We were doing a family devotional at home, and Jalen asked this question. She said, why do people hate Christians? She said, all the other religions, most of the other religions all have these high expectations and requirements of self-sacrifice and sometimes self-mutilation and all of these really difficult ways to supposedly get God's favor. And we were reading out of Romans when Paul writes, it is the free gift of God. The grace of Jesus Christ is free. All we have to do is believe. Why would people hate that? But Jesus knew that we would. John writes it in chapter 1 of his epistle when he said, or in his gospel, when he says that the light came into the world and said, men loved darkness and rejected the light. People of the world, for whatever reason, want to walk around in darkness rather than have light. And I believe, and my answer to her was this, and I'll share it with you, not because it was my answer, I totally believe it was the Holy Spirit who revealed this to me, is because people want to be God. Even if I have to climb a mountain on my hands, I'm still in control. I'm doing the climbing. If I have to deny food for long periods of time and subject myself to physical punishment, I still am in control. I still am God. I choose. But in God's economy, we don't. He did all the work. He paid the price. He offers the gift. He delivers it to us. And we can't accept it, because it takes us out of the equation. People will hate us because of the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus didn't have a PR consultant. But if he had, I would love to see him spin this. Because these are not good poster slogans. Remember World War II, Uncle Sam pointing to you? Uncle Sam needs you. Buy bonds. It motivated people to sacrifice, to bring in their extra scrap metal, to not eat as much sugar, to not do the things that they normally did in order to better the effort to win this battle against evil. There's great ad campaigns. Jesus' slogans is, there will be wolves. You will be hated. Come follow me. But what I do love about Jesus is that even when he delivers some hard truth like this, he gives us some encouragement. Six things that we can help us walk through persecution. Number one, be shrewd. Be shrewd. Be shrewd means to have wisdom. Be as shrewd as a serpent. There is an ancient tradition that serpents represented cunning and wisdom. Be innocent. You look up the Greek word there, it means be innocent. What does innocent mean? Pure, unblemished, without guilt. Number three, be anxious. Do not be anxious. Don't worry, he says. If you get in the situation where people are going to put you on the spot, you're going to be called to testify, and you're like, I don't speak in public. It's the old Moses excuse. You can't send me. I don't speak so good. Send somebody who speaks gooder than me. Jesus says, don't worry, the Father through the Holy Spirit will tell you. And time again, I have heard testimony and have experienced myself when engaged with somebody and there will be scripture who comes to mind. It's not because I'm a great Bible reader and memorizer of scripture. It's because the Holy Spirit brought those words to me. And I'm sure you have experienced that as well. Number four, endure to the end. Endure to the end. This is another thing that we don't like to do. This is a generation that commitment is not a big key word for us. I just recently re-upped my cell phone contract. I went in expecting to do what I always do, sign that 2-year contract. And the young guy who helped me, who was in college, he's about 19 years old, just looked at me like I'm this old, stupid guy. We don't do that anymore, sir. I'm like, oh, you just pulled the sir. Thank you. I'm not old enough for that. Yes, I am. Sir, this is how we do it now. I'm like, oh, okay. I tried to play it off. Like, yeah, I knew that. Can you explain to me, though, just so my wife understands it? So we don't want to engage in this. I mean, 2 years of the same phone. That's how he said it. I mean, sir, you need this. This is the plan is better, because after like 12 months, you can bring your phone in and change it out. Because really, do you want to keep your phone for 2 years? I'm like, well, the phone I have right now, I had for like 3, so 2 is fine, yeah. He looked at it, and he was like, oh, I remember those. Like he was studying ancient history, like, oh. We don't like to endure. We don't like to have commitment. But Jesus is like, stick it out. Stick it out. He also tells us sometimes we have to flee. In verse 23, he says, sometimes just get out of there. This is a battle that's not for you. Now, that doesn't mean we flee every time. Because his instruction is flee from this city, but then go to this other city. If you're persecuted here, go over here. There still will be other persecution, but it's the persecution you can handle. But so many times we want to flee and like just get out of the battle. It's not a furlough home. It's just a move to the next battle. Sometimes you have to flee. In verse 25, take heart. Take heart. If they are hating you and persecuting you and doing these things and saying bad things about you, guess what? You're just like me. And isn't that what we want? We say that. I want to be just like Jesus. I want people to treat me like they would Jesus. Jesus is saying, if the master, if the head of the household is called a devil, that's who Beelzebub is. We're saying I'm a demon. Pharisees love to call him a drunkard and a glutton. He's a heretic. They always were on him about doing things, you know, like healing on the Sabbath. Like, oh, crazy stuff. If they treated Jesus that way, Jesus is telling us, why do you expect that they wouldn't treat you? Now, I have had the privilege. I had a pretty good mom. Actually, I had a very good mom. And there have been a lot of places that I've gone in this town and even around other places that somebody knew my mom. And because of her reputation, I immediately was accepted. Or the impression of me became better. I often proved them wrong, but I was perceived as the one who was over me, the head of my household. And many of you probably have had similar experiences. You may have also had experiences where your family was known to be not so good. And if you walk into a job interview or into a situation, people automatically, oh, you're so-and-so's son, so-and-so's daughter. We know what you're like. Jesus is saying the same thing. They know the head of the household. They know, people know Jesus. The demons know Jesus. Those who are evil know Jesus. And they don't like him. They don't like what he stands for. They don't like what he teaches. They don't like the freedom that he brings. The just everything about it. It takes the control out of their lives. They don't like Jesus. So if we show up and we are representing and claiming to be of Jesus, take heart. If people treat you poorly and hate you, they're treating you like the master. You should be encouraged. Now, I know some of you are totally preoccupied that there's 4 things up there, and there's actually 6. Because I've seen some of you counting. I tested you to see if you were even paying attention to the slides. No, I apologize. I know this has been a distraction. I meant to have six. I started with four. God kept revealing more things, so my fault. But many of you have been distracted. I just want to address that issue before we go further. Because I want us to all have a very serious mind for just a moment. This is all good and well to talk about, and Scripture is true, and it's alive and breathing. And maybe we have not experienced the persecution that we're talking about. But there are people who have. And I want us to watch a video in just a second of a modern day person who, for the name of Christ, has been persecuted. And who learned to be shrewd and be innocent and learned not to be anxious. Who endured to the end, and when opportunity presented itself, she was able to flee from the persecution, but now has found peace. And she found peace because she took heart knowing that she was treated like her Lord Jesus Christ. Let's watch.
I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants and brothers and sisters were killed, just as they had been.
I saw that video, I was very much haunted by that last question. And so today we're going to end the service a little different. Usually we have the band come back up and do another song. But I think today it would be appropriate for us to pray for the persecuted church. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is everybody to please stand. We are not persecuted like that. Not yet. But we may one day. I'm going to ask that if anyone wants to come up front and represent the persecuted church, I'm going to ask that people come up front, and I'm going to ask that we come around and lay hands on them. Because I believe that it's very important that we pray for our other brothers and sisters. I'm going to start praying, and just take a few minutes, and we're going to pray. And if people would come up here, and if people would come around and lay hands on them, I want that to be representing. Michelle, yeah, please come on down. The persecuted church is not just someplace else. It's right here. It's in America. And whether it's in another place, we see it in the news right now. There's hundreds of people displaced in other countries. Thousands of people who are being killed because they are, quote unquote, the army of the cross. Those who would kill us, that's what they call us. They recognize who we are. We represent the cross. We represent Jesus Christ. Christ's words there in Matthew 10, you will be hated, are not just words in a book. They are very real life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful. We are thankful for the place in which we live right now, that we are not suffering. But at the same time, Heavenly Father, do not let us grow complacent in our blessings. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would just remind us, as you have said in your word, that those who much have been given, much is expected. And Heavenly Father, we have been blessed beyond measure in this country. And the church of the United States does so much. But God, I pray that you would remind us to do more. And the number one thing that we can do is pray, to intercede, because you remind us in your word that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and spiritual warfare. And God, I pray right now, we join together. Those who have come up front, representing your church, countries like Pakistan, countries in the Middle East, right now in Egypt, when Christians are paraded out and beheaded and cast around the world on the internet in an open defiance against you, God, we pray for the encouragement that you gave your disciples. And that the men and women right now who are facing this persecution, that they will be reminded of your words, that they should be like sheep among wolves. They should be shrewd and innocent. If there is opportunity, God, I pray for them to flee, to have wisdom to know when to stay and endure, and when sometimes they must go to another place. God, I just pray that when men do rise up and hate them, and family betrays family, that they recognize your words when you said that for every family member that denies you and you leave behind, you gain hundreds more, because the family of Christ is like the stars and like the sand. It is unmeasurable. And help them to know that right now in Newburgh, Indiana, that there is a group of believers who are lifting up their names. God, I do not understand how that your economy works and how that your ability to let them know that. But God, I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that indwells inside of us, that indwells inside them, may they understand that now that there are believers who are lifting up the name of Jesus Christ and encouraging them. Help them to have wisdom and how to convey the message of Jesus Christ. Help them to have boldness to stay faithful to you. God, help us to be ever humble and on our knees. We may never physically go to where they're at, never physically see the place that they are, or go through the enduring things that they have to go through. But Heavenly Father, we can lift up your name, Jesus Christ, and we can pray. Help us to remember this day in and day out. And as we said, and as we just read and heard from the book of Revelation, that there are believers, there are souls of the martyred who stand behind you and underneath your throne and cry out, "How long until you avenge us, Lord? How long must our other brothers and sisters be persecuted?" And you say, "Just a little while longer." God, we pray for that day when that little time is done, so none other have to suffer for you. But until that day, help us to stay strong, to stay faithful. And let us remember, the head of the household, the head of this body, your Son, Jesus Christ, did not shun the persecution. He walked through it, endured it, even the embarrassment of dying on the cross. As Paul told us, whatever we suffer here is but a minor thing compared to the glory that is coming. Help us not focus on the things that are negative, but on the positive. Not focus on the deterrence, but the encouragement of your love and your grace and the promise of a new world and eternity with you. God, we know that you love your children, would not endure us, have us endure any more than you would have us to handle. But God, sometimes it seems too much. Help us, God, here in the United States, here in Newburgh, as we go through our lives, if there are sideways glances, back talk, non-invitations to parties, or whatever it is, God, may we not see them as some kind of persecution, but just see them as just badges of honor that, God, we are recognized as being your child and your student, your follower of your household. God, may we represent you. And all of this we pray only because your Son, Jesus Christ, was faithful and promised to come back. And we know that he sent the Holy Spirit to endure with us, to encourage us. And may we have that encouragement in our heart day in and day out. All of this we pray in your Son's name. And all who believe Jesus Christ said, Amen. Amen. Guys, be blessed. We will see you next week.